Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there's some people, and we have some newer people here. Praise the Lord for you. Hallelujah. And, might not be used to church like ours. But, you know, we endeavor to be a church that is first and foremost scriptural. Yeah. You know, and sometimes people have a time when they come into a church like ours, they hear people praising and saying things out loud, and they think, why do people do that? It's weird. And the reason that it's weird is because the church you've gone to hasn't been doing that. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now, I'm not cutting down churches, but I'm just telling you, if you've been a churchgoer and you haven't heard that, yeah, or this is new to you, then that means that's a church that hasn't been doing that. And that's a liability. Amen? Because the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And the Bible talks over and over again about the importance of praise. Heck, the Psalms are all about praising God. Amen? That's really what David was doing in so many of them. So we understand that without praise, the lack of praise is what keeps us in lack. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so if we want to break out of that place that we've been, the only way it's going to happen is by us opening our mouths, yeah, and saying the right things. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that does go along with my message tonight, but that wasn't part of my message. But it's good nonetheless. And it's not, we're a church that teaches. And the reason we do this is to bring people to a place they haven't been before. Yeah. I am not interested in having spending my Saturday nights having church to not teach people something. I'm not interested in spending my Saturday nights having church to have something to do. Amen. That's not why we do it. We're here for a reason. God's placed us here for a reason, and we want to fulfill that call. Amen. We want people to learn, and that's what our mandate is to teach people the Word of God. Amen. Because we want lives to change. See, lives don't change when you have religious duties or your religious whatevers, you know. But people in religion, and what I'm talking about is not necessarily denominations or anything like that or churches. I'm talking about what the human condition is of religion. Amen. Religion is something that gets on people. It's actually promoted by the devil. A lot of people don't realize that. But it's something that gets on people, good-hearted people, and it makes them do things that aren't written in this book. It makes them do all kinds of things just because we do them. Well, we have this group and that group just because that's what we've always done. Well, how about seeking the Lord and find out what he wants? See, the Bible tells us, and some, like I said, some people won't like this. And, you know, praise the Lord, that's fine. Not everybody's going to come to my church. Amen. Not everybody's going to come to a family church. But we're endeavoring to go with the Word and to stay with the Word, because when we do that, that's when the lives actually change. See, a lot of people can talk about life changing, but life changing is not that goofy feeling that you feel when you're happy. Everybody likes to feel happy. Anyone don't like to feel happy? I love feeling happy. Happy is one of my favorite things to feel. Amen? Hallelujah. I love happy. But I'm going to tell you, some days the day don't feel happy. Sometimes life don't feel happy. Sometimes when the devil's throwing stuff at you, it doesn't make you feel happy. Amen? But you got to learn how to live when you don't feel happy. Because if you don't learn how to live when you don't feel happy, you're never going to live. Amen. You're always going to be in that place of always just moping around and being sad. Listen, we got to put happy on. The Bible tells us we got to put joy on. One of the best ways we do that is by praising God. How do I know? Well, because when I'm praising God, I can't do that very long, and I can't tell God about all the good things he's done in my life. Hallelujah. I can't tell God very long about all the wonderful things that he's done on this earth and feel sad for very long. And if you can, there's something wrong with you. Amen. And what's wrong with you is not something that can't be fixed. Just let me help you. Amen. It's not something that can't be fixed. See, the praise God. God has given us the ability. You know it takes like two muscles to smile. Did you know that? And it takes a bunch of muscles to frown. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is a truth that we know. I mean, this is somewhat scientific if you want to go there. Two muscles to smile. It's easier to smile. So you might as well just start doing it. Put on joy. Amen. Say, I don't feel it. Who cares what you feel? Did it change when you were feeling miserable? Let me ask you something. When you were sulking, when you were sitting around in your misery stew, hallelujah. Listen, I've been there. I go there sometimes. But when you're sitting around in your misery stew, do you feel better? Does it get you anywhere? Is there any point during that time that you feel better about yourself, about life, or anything else? No. What do? You usually feel worse, don't you? So why don't we change it? Amen? We're going to change that because we're going to start believing what God actually says about him, about us, and about that connection. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you came tonight because tonight is a good message. It's so good that I'm probably going to preach it 2 days in a row, which is something I never do. But, I say probably because I always leave room for the Holy Ghost. But I'm pretty sure that this is what God has me to do, you know, and it'll come out differently, the different churches, I'm sure. But the basis of the message are the same, and it's so, so important. Amen. And it's something that I've laid down a little bit as a pastor. It's something that I haven't pushed enough as a pastor, and we're going to kind of get into that today. And today's message is called Lifting the Limits on Your Life. Amen. Lifting the Limits on Your Life. See, God did not give us Jesus so we could be limited. God gave us Jesus so we were able. The very word grace, what grace is, a lot of people, a lot of churches will talk about grace. Some people will even, they'll have grace on their name. But most Christians don't even really know what grace is. Grace is not just that Jesus died for you and that he paid the way so you could live, but it's God's ability placed on you, amen? It's God taking what you didn't have and then putting what he had in you, amen? Praise the Lord. And not doing it by merit or by something that you earned, but doing it because he loved you, amen? And we have to understand this. But we're going to have to understand some things about the way that things work, the way that life works, the way the devil works. We have to understand that. This is something that a lot of Christians have gotten away from so much over the years. And they've gotten away from it because they're not taught well enough. They don't understand what the Word says about these things. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that, as I say it, frustrates me and saddens me. But I'm going to say it anyways because it's the truth. There will be people here possibly who may not, and I'm going to believe everybody here is going to listen to it. But what I'm saying is that as many people as I could preach this message to, there will be people that will get offended by what I'm about to say, and they'll never do it. There'll be people that'll say, well, I just want to believe what I always want to believe. See, listen, if your mind can't be changed by the Word of God, you have a religious devil, and you need to deal with it. I'm just saying, if you're going to hold on to what you always thought because you always thought it, and because grandma always taught you that, I'm not saying grandma was a bad person. But hey, if grandma didn't know, she didn't know. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, everybody's got their stuff. Everybody's got their things. And I don't know why, but I just thought about pasta sauce. If you ever met an Italian person, I'm partly Italian, so I can talk about this. Amen? But if you ever met an Italian person, their mother could make the best pasta sauce. Amen? You ever met an Italian person and said, my mom don't make the best pasta sauce? Well, here's the thing. I've had a lot of people's mom's pasta sauces, and I'm just going to tell you that every mom's pasta sauce isn't the best. Some of it's just not good. So if mama makes bad pasta sauce, then stop making it. Don't continue the tradition. You know what I'm saying? Put it down and move on into some good pasta sauce. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, we got to do this in our lives. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:7. We're going to start here. This is a scripture that most Christians should, or that all Christians should know. It's something that you should have ingrained in you. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7. What's it say here? Praise the Lord. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord. You know what I like about this scripture? Is it didn't just say that, you know, of power, love, and a sound mind. It says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Separated each one to let you know that that's what God has given us a spirit of. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, if you're born again, this applies to you. If you're not, it don't. Amen? But this is the truth. God has not given us a spirit of fear. This is the first thing that we need to understand about God and the devil. If it's fear that's operating in our life, it is not from God, ever. Why? Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. How do you know that, Pastor Jeff? Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given me a spirit of fear. And if he has not given a spirit of fear, then he has not given me anything that has to do with fear. And so if fear creeps into your life, it is not from God. It is not from it's not from heaven. It's not from God's angels. It is not from Jesus. Fear does not come from God. It does not come with the kingdom of God. You see, so why are you talking about fear? Because everything that you could boil a lot, most everything that people deal with, down to fear. Yeah. Fear, why won't people give? Because they're afraid. Yeah, absolutely. That's why people won't give. Oh, we saw an amazing miracle this week. An amazing financial miracle for a church this week. Absolutely amazing. Praise the Lord. But see, it won't happen with the spirit of fear. I'm not just talking about giving. Why won't people believe God? Why won't people believe God that God wants to do something good for them? Because they're afraid. They're afraid of things. They're afraid of putting their faith out there and actually trusting God. See, true faith in God is trusting Him no matter what. Why won't people confess the word? Because they're afraid. Why won't people come to church? Because they're afraid. Yeah, it's the truth. They're afraid of, oh, I don't want, you know, whatever their preconceived notions are or ideas. Praise the Lord. He has given us, it says He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, when you see the word power, I don't know about you, but I think when I see the word power, I get kind of excited about that. Because when I've been told I've been given power, that means I can do something with power. Amen. I got a bunch of tools at home. One of the most annoying things is when I go to need a tool and I need to use it over here, the plug is over there, and I ain't got enough cord to get between the two. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is that? It's power. We like power tools. Men like power tools. A lot of people like power sports. Amen. You like things with power. I got a truck with a Hemi in it. Amen. It's got power. I like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Power is a good thing. Power used wrongly can be a bad thing, but power is meant, intended for good things. Amen? God intended power for good things. But the Bible tells us that He gave us a spirit of power. Yes. Amen? A spirit of power. Yes. Why did God give us a spirit of power? So we couldn't ever do anything with it. God gave us a spirit of power so we'd be weak the rest of our lives. God gave us a spirit of power so we couldn't stand up and actually fight the devil. So we couldn't win against this addiction. That's why He gave us the spirit of power, right? That didn't make any sense, does it? How does it make sense that God give you a spirit of power and put sickness on you? Answer that question for me. Praise the Lord. See, you can follow those religious devils because those religious devils are always going to take you to that place of fear. They're always going to take you to that place of not understanding what God has for you. The Bible says He's given us a spirit of power. The reason God's given us a spirit of power is because it changes things. Power gives you the ability to change something, to do something. Amen. You know, you notice that he gave us the power. That means something. That means when God gave us the power, that means that He wasn't okay with us not doing anything about it. He gave us the power to do something about it. But see, most Christians, they'll spend their time in prayer. They'll be believing God for things, or they'll be praying to God to change this or change that. And the whole time, the Bible says He gave you the spirit of power. God can change anything, right? Yeah, is there anything that God couldn't just create? The Bible tells us that. We know that from all creation. If you believe in a basic God, you believe that God can do all things, right? He can do all these crazy kind of things. So why, if we were just to pray to God for something, why would He need to give us a spirit of power? Praise the Lord. That's the truth. I haven't given my children, when my son Mark here, when he was 5 years old, now he can my table saw now if he wants. He can run my circular saw if he wants. Amen. Heck, he can go drive my Hemi if he wants. Amen. But when he was 5 years old, I didn't give it to him, right? Why? Because if I'd given it to him then, he would have hurt himself with it or hurt somebody else with it. He wasn't ready for it. Amen. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. We have to understand this, folks. Praise the Lord. Do you know what fear is? Fear is power over you. It's the devil's power over you. Fear, if you ever heard that, that phrase, have been gripped by fear, that isn't of God. The Bible tells us it's not of God. You know, I was thinking about, for some reason this year, I've hit an unreasonable amount of animals in the road when I've been driving. And not by choice. I always try to avoid them if I can. I mean, I won't get in an accident to avoid a squirrel. But I always get sad, a little bit sad when I hit a squirrel chipmunk. You know, I'm rooting for them as I'm driving over them. I'm like, oh, stay between those tires. You know what I'm saying? And that's just where I'm at. We had a rabbit on the way down here tonight. Just that thing. I didn't hit her. Hit it. I don't know if it hit him or her. It's one of the two, but I don't know which one it was. But I didn't hit it. I was rooting for it. And all of a sudden, we passed by, and I'm looking in my review. Man, I noticed my wife. She's looking at me. He wasn't flapping around, right? He made it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But have you ever noticed what an animal does when they realize they're about to get hit? They do everything they shouldn't do. In fact, most of the time, when an animal gets hit, it's its own fault, isn't it? Why? Because if it just kept scampering along, it had made it across and been, you know, home, going home. But see, the problem is, what do? They start, they get gripped by fear, and they start boop, 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 hopping back and forth right in front of the tire. And that's why you smoke them. Amen? That's why it happens. It wasn't my choice. But see, the same thing is with God. God's given us a spirit of fear, or hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. Now, I know there's more to it. We're going to get to it. But he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but we accept the spirit of fear as if it's something that belongs to us. We receive fear as though it's something that's ours. We'll call it our fear. We'll talk about how we're afraid or how we don't know. Listen, if you say the words "I don't know" in the context of you don't know what you're going to do, or you don't know how anything good is going to happen, you know what I mean? That kind of context. If you use those phrases, you've been gripped with fear. Yeah. Amen? And you have fallen victim of the devil. Yeah. You've fallen right into his hands. Yeah. Fear is what the devil uses to keep Christians from doing what they have been given to do. Yeah. Do you know how sad it's going to be for so many Christians to stand before Jesus, and he's going to lay out before them, he's going to say, "I had this for you, I had this for you, I had this for you, and I had this for you. But you listen to the devil instead of listening to my word." Praise the Lord. Do you know that God desires no Christian, God desires not one of his people to die poor. There'll be people that doesn't matter how much I show them in the word. Jesus talked more about money than heaven and hell combined. And yet people will still get offended when a preacher sits there and shows them in the word how God doesn't want them to die poor. Yeah. God is not for poverty. That's of the devil. Why? Because what does poverty do to people? Have you ever seen someone blessed by being poor? Have you ever seen? No, absolutely not. What do you think half the problems in our nation, 3/4 of the problems in our nation are over nothing but finances? What's health care? It's finances. Yeah, because if you had endless money, you wouldn't care what the bill costs, right? If you had millions of dollars in the bank, would you care if a $1,000 doctor bill came? You wouldn't care. You wouldn't think about it. Would you care if you took a job, a lesser job, a job that paid less, if you were independently wealthy? No, you wouldn't care at all. Would you think about it? That's all fear. But see, people will allow that to control them because they would rather believe what they've always believed than they would believe what the word says. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it." Yeah. The blessing of the Lord. Yeah. Now, I'm not taking this to the extreme and saying all we would do is God is against us coveting money. Yeah. But God has never been against his people being wealthy. Right. If he was against his people being wealthy, explain Solomon to me. Yeah. When he was in his best with God, when he was his best between him and God, what happened? God blessed him with finances. He said, because that's not what you were after, I'm going to give you so much that nobody will ever be as wealthy as Solomon. Yeah. Do you know that? Yeah. The Bible says that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But people get offended by that stuff. I'll talk about God wants people healed. And people, because they haven't experienced it, even though the Bible says it, by his stripes, I was healed. Right. You were healed. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Jesus wanted you healed. He intended for you to be healed. All Jesus did when he was here, went around healing people who were oppressed of the devil and setting people free. And yet there's preachers that will preach that God wants you sick, that God's trying to teach you something through it. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't learned anything by going to a hospital and looking and talking to people. I've been a pastor now for a few years, and I've gone visited people in the hospital. You know, every single thing I've learned is to say, it comes down to the same thing. Sickness is bad. Yeah. And if sickness is of God, I don't want nothing to do with that God. Yeah. I'm going to tell you boldly, and I'll say it again. If sickness is of God, if God creates sickness, if cancer is of God, right. I've watched people in my family die from cancer. I'm going to tell you, if that's of God, I want nothing to do with that God. That God is garbage. Yeah. Oh, there'll be people get mad at me saying that, but it's the truth. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Amen? Amen? Of love. He's given us a spirit of love. This is an important word. You know, I went back as I was thinking about this, because love isn't just, you know, what the world teaches love is. But love means so much more to God than just what we know. But love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. And yet Christians have sneered at me and snarled at me because I preach the truth. Yeah. I've had other pastors who talk down about me because I preach the truth. Because I preach what's in here, not my experience. Now I share sometimes, you know, I'll share things. If God set me free in an area, I'll share that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? It's a testimony, and we're supposed to. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to. Amen. That's what all the disciples did. Listen, Christians, we either need to decide we want the truth or we don't. But if we've been given a spirit of love, then we've been given a spirit of truth, because the Bible says that love rejoices in the truth. And we're going to see more of that today. But you can't have love and not have the truth. Oh, hallelujah. I said you can't have true love, not godly love, and not also have the truth. I don't care if it feels good. What I care about is the truth. I don't care if it feels bad. What I care about is the truth. Jesus said there will be trials against life, but you need to know how to stand against them. You're going to do it by power and by love. And you're going to do it by a sound mind. Praise the Lord. What's a sound mind? It's thinking right. It's ability to think right. Hallelujah. It's not thinking all stupid all the time. Listen, I come out a lifetime of thinking stupid. There ain't nothing valuable in thinking wrong. Stinking thinking, we call it. Yeah, we like to brainwash people. That's what my job is here. I'm a brainwasher. I'm cleaning all your stinking thinking out. Amen. That's what I want to do down here. I want to get all that bad stuff out of people. Do you know that most of my job is spent telling Christians that the word is actually true? Yeah. It's getting Christians. I'm going to tell you, most of my time as a pastor in 4.5 years have been spent time and time again. Most of my counseling appointments is spending time and time again with Christians, telling them how the word is actually the truth and not what they think. Yeah. Not what they think about God, because what you think about God doesn't matter in the sense that it doesn't change him. Amen. It's what the word says. Praise the Lord. And of a sound mind. We have to think right. We have to be people that are going to think right. But see, if we start taking, if we start rejecting these things, if we reject the sound mind, thinking right, if we reject love, if we reject the truth, if we reject what love does, amen? If we reject the power of God, guess where we get? We just open the door for that spirit of fear to come in. See, if we aren't going to receive the truth, then we will receive the lie. And when we receive the lie, we receive what the lie brings. And the lie always brings us something that you don't want. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Fear is Satan's tool to get you. Now listen to this. Fear is Satan's tool to get you to put limits on your life. Yeah, that's what fear is. Fear is about you, because when you're afraid, if you're gripped with fear, you won't act right, you won't do right, and you won't confess right. And we're going to see here tonight that confession is one of the biggest things that Christians need. And we're not even covering a portion of the scriptures on confession. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 8:15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." That's important. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's not the spirit you get, God, is it? God has not given us a spirit of fear. When you received Jesus, you didn't receive that. Now, he is not saying that Christians don't receive that. He's saying that when you got saved, what you got was not fear. What God put in you when you were receiving salvation, when you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that what God did for you was not fear. You did not receive fear because fear is bondage. Amen? Bondage keeps you from going higher. It's a limit in your life. Amen? If you're at a place where you're always broken in your mind, that's bondage. You haven't received that spirit, but you are receiving that spirit. How do I know? Because I've done that. I've received a spirit of bondage. I used to. I was saved when I was like 14 years old. I went to church from the time I was a little boy. And by the time I was in my 20s, I was in mental institutions. By the time I was in my early 20s, I had a gun in my mouth every other day. By the time I was in my 20s, I was trying to hang myself. I was on drugs. I was doing all these things. Why? I did not receive a spirit of fear. I did not receive a spirit of bondage, but I received it when I put down the word, when I put down what God had for me, and I received what the world had. I received what people in the world told me. Heck, I received what religious leaders told me. Oh, it bothers me. It bothers me when I hear pastors or other ministers of the gospel, and they don't even know the basic understanding of the gospel. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, every church in town should be laying hands on people. It shouldn't just be our church. Why? Because the Bible says so. That's what Jesus did. And he said, the works I do, you'll do greater ones. Well, let me ask you something, Christian. How are you going to do greater works if you don't at least do what he did? How can you do greater ones if you won't even do the basics? Praise the Lord. God has so much for us. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. What does adoption mean? That you have access to the things that the Father has. My kids in my household, as long as they live there, and even after, they have access to their Father's home. They have access to what I own. Haven't I told you that? As you've grown older and you're looking to start your own life, you know that you can come home. You know that you can come in. Why? Because I'm his father. That's what a good father does. I will always, my house is always open to my children. Amen? Why? Because that's what a good father does. Amen? But let me ask you something. If I decided, I've been trying to talk my wife into this, but she won't listen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But I want to adopt a whole bunch of babies. You see, the thing is, it's easy for me to say I want to adopt a whole bunch of babies. It's another thing for me to do that and then have her take care of them because, you know, I wouldn't be doing it. Amen. And that's what I mean by that. But if I adopted a whole bunch of babies and they come into the house, do they get rights just like the natural children do? Absolutely. Why? Because that's what adoption is. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about, what's that? Yeah, we'll adopt in-laws. That's what we'll have to do. That's how we'll do it. We'll just adopt in-laws and then grandkids and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? Like, listen, if we've been adopted into something, then we have the rights to that. For God's sakes, the Bible tells us that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We're saying, we've been told in over and over and over in Scripture, because he did, we can. You know, in so many words, praise the Lord, and in all kinds of different scriptures. Of course, we read them all the time. When we cry out, Abba, Father, that context there of crying out, Abba, Father, is not just saying, it's not just calling, Dad, where are you? No, it's Dad. It's crying out to your Father, Lord, this is what I need. But see, well, a lot of people, when they pray, they don't even think that God's going to ever answer them. They don't believe that God is ever going to do anything for them. And because of that, they go without what God actually has for them. Amen. Turn with me to 1 John 4:17. In case you didn't believe me, praise the Lord. We're just going to build a case here. Hallelujah. First John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, everybody say, as he is.
As he is.
Say this, so are we.
So are we.
In this world. What does that mean? Jesus had all ability. Do you know when Jesus went to the cross, he even said, no man takes my life. He said, I lay it down. I decide when I go. I'm the one who decides. Jesus said that. I said, Jesus said that. As he is, so are we in this world. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. Is Jesus in fear right now? Is Jesus afraid, not knowing what's going to happen? Is Jesus sitting up there in heaven just worried about what's going on or how we're going to get through, how he's going to get through? No, Jesus went to heaven. He went to the cross knowing. Jesus did not know what was going to happen on the cross. Jesus knew what he was getting himself into. He also knew that on the other side of it, he was going to be raised up. He knew on the other side of it, he was going somewhere. He knew on the other side of it, there was something for him, amen, that was greater than the trial he was going through right now. When was the last time you were in trial that you knew that there was something greater on the other side? I could almost say, probably in a lot of truth for most of us, that you didn't go through trial like that. That you wondered what was going to happen on the other side. And see, if you know your God, you don't ever wonder what's going to happen on the other side. You know. Why do you know? Because the Bible says so. The Bible tells us what happens on the other side. And I'm not talking about in the sweet by and by. As he is, so are we in this world. It didn't have to say in this world. God wasn't adding fillers because he just wanted to add, you know, just to make it a little more poetic or a little bit more interesting. No, he said in this world because he meant in this world. As he is, as Jesus is now, as he is right now. What is Jesus right now? Is he not victorious? Is he not surpassed all trial? Has he not won he's won the victory? He beat death, hell, and the grave. As he is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you might say, well, Pastor Jeff, my flesh will die someday. And yes, if Jesus tarries, your flesh will die someday. Mine will as well. Praise the Lord. But if all you are is defined by your flesh, then that's your problem. Because if all you know is what you are is defined by your flesh, then you have no idea who you are in Christ. You have no idea what he's provided for you. You have no idea what he's given to you. You know, I'm telling you right now, I'll preach this. I don't care if I have a church of 10,000 or if I have a church of 10. I'm going to preach the same thing. I'm going to preach the same message. Because the message is the truth of God. Amen? The word of God, what the word preaches. My life did not change. Listen, I can say it and you cannot believe me. Or you can say it and believe me and try it and see if it actually works. But see, my life didn't change until somebody started teaching me the truth. You know, people say stuff, well, you guys talk about tithing, giving, all that stuff all the time. Absolutely. Why? Because my life didn't change until somebody taught me the truth. Praise the Lord, it's the truth. You know, it does not matter if you don't believe it. Doesn't make it any less the truth. Amen? Jesus talks about giving. The Bible talks about giving. And what would happen if you don't? He also talked about that. The Bible talks about, read Malachi 3:10. Amen? If you read the verses around it, you find out what happens when you know. People say, oh, they'll try to justify every way they can to get out of it. But then they wonder why they're perpetually in that trouble. Because no Christian is blessed, truly blessed, that doesn't tithe, that doesn't give, that doesn't do these things. People get mad about it, but it's the truth of God. It's the truth of God. God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Yeah, he gave a son. But Romans 8:32 says that he who gave a son, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Praise the Lord. Gee, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9, I think, says it that for your sake, it says, though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Do you know that entire scripture, that entire section of scriptures, that everything that's around it, before it and after it, is all about giving. All of it is about giving, financially giving. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. My wife and I gave some of the biggest offerings that we've given this week. Why? Because we believe the word is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because we need things to happen. I'm helping somebody in here. I'm probably making someone else mad. Glory to God. But I don't care. Because I'm going to preach the truth. Because here's the thing. If I can preach the truth and I can have one person out of a thousand, but one person out of 1,000 listen, it'll change their life. Amen. It'll change their life. And for everybody else, they'll go back to the same life they always lived. It's the truth. I've seen it happen. I've watched it happen. Over the years, I have watched people get connected to the truth. I'm not saying we're perfect and we know everything. I'm not saying that. I wouldn't be so bold as to say that or dumb to say that. But we do have a handle on some things in the truth that work. Amen. The reason I can stand before you today is not because the truth doesn't work. The only difference between me and the me that is and the me that was is the Word of God being activated in my life, me putting things to practice. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's some Christians that have church, they have problems showing up to church once a week. You know, praise the Lord. I know some, you know, some people in here, they have other churches they go to and stuff. Saturday night, sometimes it's a little bit different. But I see this in my church in Mayville. Sometimes the Christians show up once a month. They'll be proud of themselves when they show up once a month. And then they hear me ranting and, you know, running on about how you need to be in church. And they think that I'm saying because I want a big church. You see, they haven't gotten the truth yet. I was in church 6 times this week. You know what? I didn't walk away with less than what I had before. Huh? I'm sorry, 8 times this week. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We drove 3 hours to be in church. Every night, basically every night this week. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it's a blessing of God is found there. That's where God has set me free, is the local church. Why do you think I go? It's not hard to go to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll get a bunch of other people, because I'm telling you right now, there's more coming. You may look around, you may look next to you and see, you know, some of you don't have an empty seat right next to you on both sides of you or whatever. But even if you do, I'm going to tell you this, it ain't going to be that way forever. Because there's going to be a time when this church is going to be full. Praise the Lord. There's going to be a time where we're going to have to do more services because this, we're going to have to add on because this church won't hold it. Why? Because sooner or later people are going to get tired of not hearing the truth and they're going to want something to change in their lives. And they're going to make a decision. They're going to say, you know what? Maybe I'm going to jump on board with that. Some people say, that's bold. I don't like that. Good. Stay where you're at. Praise the Lord. I don't care about like that. I don't care about people's thoughts that don't line up with the Word. You understand what I'm saying? I care about people. I care about every person. Every single one. Listen, even if you hate me right now, which I don't think anyone in here hates me. I'm not picking up that vibe. But even if you hate me right now, even if you're just putting on a good show and you're sitting there smiling and you're just like, hey, you know what? But I really hate you. I still love you. Do you understand that? There's people, I have ministered to people that I know are against me. I know because I know things that they don't know that I know, but I know them. Hallelujah. I know that they're against me, but I still love them with all my heart. I still minister to them with all my heart. I still want to see God's best in their lives. Amen. And those who stay are the ones that change. Amen. Praise God. But listen, here's another thing. If you get offended over little stupid things, if that's the life you live too, if you're going to walk away from God's blessing because you're offended about one thing that you either don't understand or you don't fully grasp, well, you know, that's another thing. I mean, people have that stuff all the time. It's what they will receive. You understand? Well, amen. Hallelujah. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Turn with me to Mark 11:20. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 11:20. Praise the Lord. Now in the morning, as they passed by, and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now in context, it talks what had happened. Remember, Jesus went to the fig tree looking for food because he was hungry. Yeah. What did Jesus do to the fig tree that didn't produce the food? He cursed it. The Bible says that he answered it. Specifically, if you go back and you read, the Bible said he answered it. What did Jesus do? He answered lack. He answered, he wasn't okay with lack. He wasn't going to be okay with, you know what? No, I'm not okay with lack. He cursed it. Why else would he have to? Because he wasn't going to receive lack. Amen? So now they're walking by it and they're seeing that this is dried up. And Peter here, he's perplexed by this. Look, it's withered up, withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Yes. What's he saying? I do, you know, Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do. I follow, you know, his direction. Amen. We can do the same thing because we have his word, so we know what to follow, what to do. And so we see here that Jesus said, have faith in God. Yes. Trust in God. Trust in what he said. Trust in what he does. Trust in his power. Amen? Jesus didn't freak out when there was no food. He was hungry. A lot of people will freak out when there's no food. I'm talking about one meal, they'll freak out. You know what I'm saying? Jesus didn't freak out. He cursed it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And he said, have faith in God. He's telling us something. He's giving us an example to live by here. Amen? And then he goes on to say in verse 23, and this is gonna make somebody mad. Amen? I'm just telling you. Not anybody in here, because you're all good. Because you want to receive the word, right? Yeah. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, say ever, anyone say whoever.
Whoever.
Hallelujah. Who's a whoever? If you're a whoever, raise your hand. Glory to God. I see a bunch of whoevers in here. You're all whoevers. Praise the Lord. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, says to this mountain, says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. What did Jesus mean by that? Why do you think he said it so strongly? First he says, have faith in God. And then he says, whatever you say and believe when you say it, that's what you're going to have. Does it? Can you read any other way? Praise the Lord. Don't come up here and try to read another way, because we'll have to kick you in the pants. You can't read it another way because it's not written another way. It's written the way it's written for a reason, to tell us that we can have what we say. This is important for us to understand. As he is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. When God wants something, what does he do? He speaks about it. He says it. That's exactly what he did, right? When he wanted an earth, he said, let there be an earth. And when he said, we want a light, he said, let there be light. Amen? As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus, remember when he is here, what did he do? He spoke to the fig tree that tried to give him lack. And he cursed it. But we also know that Jesus, when he gave thanks for the bread and the fish, he multiplied it. Didn't he? And people want to say that Jesus was poor. How can a man who can multiply food in abundance be poor? You think it only worked with that? Well, I don't know. Peter said, we got to pay taxes. And he said to Peter, what did he say? He said, go fishing, Peter. That's where your money is. Go fishing. And he said, the first fish you catch, reach in its mouth and pull out a coin. Pay your taxes and pay my taxes. But he's a man that's poor. Like, how does that make sense? The guy knows that fish carry money to him. Amen? And yeah, he didn't have nothing. Why? Because the Bible says that for your sakes he became poor. He became poor on the cross when he gave up everything. When he gave up his right. He actually, if you actually want to think about it this way, he did become poor when he came to earth, because going from being God to being a man is giving up a whole lot. But see, he wasn't just a man. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He was a man that you remember when the devil tempted Jesus? I'm going to go take this one more step further. Remember when the devil tempted Jesus? And the Bible says he was fasting, and so he was hungry. And what did the devil say to him? He said, speak to those rocks and turn them into bread. Didn't he say that? Do you think the devil said that because he couldn't do it? No, because if the devil came to you and said, you know, I don't know if he told you to do anything. If he said, speak to the, you know, if the devil told you to do something that couldn't happen, it wouldn't trip you up. But see, the devil says things that in your mind could happen. And so that's where the fear comes from, right? But see, it's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus wasn't dumb enough to be tricked by the devil. You understand? If Jesus spoke to the rocks, what would they become? Bread. Praise the Lord. Would they only become bread? Is that the only thing Jesus could have turned them into? Could Jesus have access to anything? Jesus himself said that at any point he could call a legion of angels to come save him. Right? He knew this. He knew this fact. Amen? Praise the Lord. What do we know about God? Do we have faith in God? Do we have faith in who we are in God? Do we even understand? I mean, listen, guys, we have to get this at some point. God does not want us broken, defeated, without, going without, constantly wondering what's going on. He, having faith in God. God. When Jesus said that, he was saying, what he was really saying to us is knowing that God is our supply. He will always be there for us. He will always take us through. He will always get us to the other side. But what he was also telling us, and what he went on to tell us, was that we have to do things the way that God told us to do them. And he said, we will have what we believe and say. We will have what we believe and say. We will have what we believe and say. And therefore, when you are believing that you are going to have the worst and you are speaking that you are going to have the worst, why are you surprised when all you have is the worst? You are doing the word. You're just not doing it the way God intended you to do it. God gave you that mouth and that believer so you didn't have to stay there, but so you can lift those burdens, so you can get beyond the trial. But see, Christians aren't putting this to practice. They're not standing there saying, you know what? I'm telling you right now, this church is full in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This church has more than enough in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I don't care if you can't see it, because I can see it, and I believe it, and I speak it, and therefore I will have it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I am not okay with not having enough of anything. I am not okay with my kids going hungry. And God's not okay with it either. But we have to do what we have to do to make it happen. I'm going to be a Christian who gets what I've asked for because I'm going to do the things that God said to do it. And this is the thing. It's going to make some Christians mad that I speak this way. Good. I love that. I love that I'm because, you know, it's not making the Christian mad. What it's making is stirring up those religious devils that people are full of, that God's people are so full of, that they would rather listen to than listen to the Word of God. It's going to stir up those religious devils. And I'm going to tell you, it will expose those religious devils. And when those devils get exposed in front of me, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to kick their butt out the door so that God's people can be set free. Because I am not okay with God's people laying down and being defeated anymore. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of the devil running on you. I've had enough of the devil trying to always be in there, always conquering over you. When Jesus didn't die so that would happen. Jesus died to give us the power to say it happens no more. Amen. To stop it right now. Amen. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is the resurrected, victorious King. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We just happen to have our place right there with him. The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not seated there on our own accord. You're not seated there because you're so great. Although I think you're pretty special. I like you. I think I'm rooting for you. But that's not why God did all this for you. He did it because he loves you. But we have to understand what God's love truly is. Praise the Lord. You know, we had a Christian say to us, I'm not going to tell you what town they were in. I'll just tell you, it rhymed with Corey, though. Hallelujah. But we had a Christian say to us, you know, we were talking about just living on the grace and the love of God. Or just having church according to this. But see, that's not the way things work. Yes, the grace and love of God is what God's given us. He's given those things for us. But there are other things that come into play, including like being there, connected to a church, connecting to a pastor. A lot of people don't like to hear that. Praise the Lord. They don't think that you need a pastor. Well, you need a pastor because the Bible says so. I'm not saying it just because I'm a pastor. You don't have to pick me. Ask God who your pastor is. I'm not telling you I'm your pastor. You decide that between you and God. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But once you decide who your pastor is, you need to get faithful and be faithful. Why? Because you can't flourish without being faithful. Why? Well, would your relationship flourish if your spouse wasn't faithful? Heck no, it wouldn't. What relationship flourishes when one person is wishy-washy? Right? No relationship. So why would we think that when our marriage is the God's covenant, to greatest covenant on earth is marriage, to show us our covenant with God? Why would we think, first of all, why would we think it wouldn't be under attack, which it is? Amen. But why would we think that it would work any different with God? It doesn't. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Speaking, our confession, is important. What you believe when you speak it is that's the creation of whatever it is you're talking about. Once you've believed something, and you can actually put a lot of limits on your life by talking wrong all the time. I want to share with some notes from these services we were in this week. Do you mind if I do that? Praise the Lord. The purpose of confession is not trying to get God to do something for us. You cannot make God do anything he doesn't want to do. The purpose of confession is to get us in faith and then to keep us in faith. That's the purpose of confession. Because whatever you believe is what you're going to speak. Think about the way you've lived. What you believe is what you speak. When you hear a person say, things are always bad, they're always bad, they're always bad, when they're saying that, what do they believe? That things are always bad, right? Is that how God created them? No. But they speak it, they believe it, and therefore that's what they have. Amen? Now listen, don't get mad at me. Don't think, well, listen, are you saying it's all my fault? Well, yeah, probably is. There's a lot of things that are our own fault that we can change, but we don't change. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not because they're destroyed because they don't have the right pastor. It's because they're destroyed, or it could be that, but they're not destroyed because the devil's so bad or the devil's so big or so powerful. They're not destroyed because they were raised in a bad area. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God's people are. What does that mean? Folks, we really have to think about that. What does it mean when God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? What does that mean? What is this book? It's knowledge. It's wisdom, is it not? Isn't this book full of instruction to teach us how to live and to get better? But there's Christians that literally believe that it's archaic, it's old, it doesn't really matter. And so they'll hear it or whatever, but they'll want to adapt it to, you know, this is what society does today. Well, it doesn't work that way. God is God and he don't change. Praise the Lord. Confession will locate you. Are you in faith? It will tell you where your confession is where your faith is. Praise the Lord. It sets the boundaries of your life. You have boundaries that have put you where you're at with your words. Or you may have boundaries, I'll say, that have put you where you're at with your words. In other words, when you've spoke this over and over and over again. See, how do you reverse that? Well, the same tool that you dug the hole with is the same tool you fill the hole with. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you dug it with your tongue, then you need to fill it with your tongue. You need to get out of it with your tongue. Amen? The reason you don't have more is because you don't believe God for more. These are all notes that I received this week. What I'm saying is this is what the minister was preaching. Amen? Not these scriptures, but these are the notes that came through them. There is no faith without confession. You will never possess unless you confess. Praise the Lord. When you set these boundaries, you also determine, here's the other side of it. When you set boundaries, you also determine boundaries that Satan cannot penetrate. So when you're preaching the word, when you're speaking the word, when you're saying the truth, when you're saying, I shall be above and not beneath, like the Bible says, right? I'll be a head, not the tail. I'm going to win every time. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm not going to be a loser. I'm going to be victorious. I'm not going to be defeated. When you speak these things, you set boundaries. Yes, you increase your boundaries. You lift those boundaries. But what you're also doing is you're putting up a hedge of protection that the devil can't get into. Yeah. And see, what you do is you start thwarting the attacks of the enemy. This was revelation to me this week even. And this is one of the areas where I've dropped it as a pastor. Because sometimes as a pastor, you can get wrapped up in the day-to-day things. You can get wrapped up into numbers, what people are doing or what people don't do. See, one thing I'll tell you I foolishly thought that I could be hindered by what people will or won't do. But I ain't going to be hindered by no man. I'm just telling you right now. I'm declaring it right here. I'm saying it so you can hear it, but I'm also saying it so the devil can hear it. I will be hindered by no man. I will be hindered by no man. Because God said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things means all things. Now, if you want to believe that all things only means this much, well, then you have that much. That's where your boundary is. But guess what I think all things mean? I think all when God said all things, I think he meant all things. He says I could do all things. And since I'm in his plan and I'm in his purpose, since I'm after what God is after in my life, praise the Lord, I'm going to obtain all those things. And so if people want to come with me, praise the Lord for them because they're going to enjoy the ride. But if they don't, praise the Lord for them. Praise the Lord because they're going to have their life the way that they want it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to set the bar high because the Bible says in Ephesians that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all I can think. So I'm going to set that bar kind of high. I'm going to start thinking a little bit bigger. I'm going to start thinking a little bit more. I watched a church. Now I'm going to share this with you. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. This church up there that we were at is a growing church. It's in a big area. That doesn't mean anything. But they're in a big area, and the building that they're in, they've leased for the last 8 years. And they've tried to buy it and tried to buy it, but they couldn't buy it. And they couldn't buy it because the owner wasn't going to sell. Now, they're in an area where there's a lot of demand for commercial space and stuff like that. And so this church had been trying to buy it, and they couldn't do it. But, you know, because of the way the government is up there, part of the things that they have to do, because they don't own the building, they have to pay the taxes for the building. Amen? Which is $22,000 a year, which if the church owned the building, they wouldn't have to pay those. It's a significant sum of money that the church is just throwing out. They could put it in missions. They could hire another staff member to help outreaches or whatever, you know, whatever needs to be done. Praise the Lord. And so at any rate, because of the way the government is up there, they have to come up with 30% down before they can even get a mortgage. They're not even allowed to get a mortgage by the government standards because they have to come up with 30% down. Well, when you have buildings that aren't $200,000, when you have buildings that are $2 million, you need a significant more amount of money. So what they needed down to do this was in the neighborhood of $680,000, something like that, is what they needed down. That was their down payment. Anybody needed 680 grand to put on a down payment? No. Praise the Lord. So that's what they needed. You know, and there's still people up there that work at Starbucks, that work at McDonald's. You know, so we're not saying that everybody's making, you know, $3 million a year here either. But so they needed this money down. They needed and they needed it down. The owner finally came to him and said, "We'll sell you the building." But they need the money and they need it quickly because there is a time frame that they have to operate in. Amen? Because these owners, you know, they're looking to make money too. So so Reverend Greer had it on his heart to take up an offering for this church. And he said that what they needed was they needed $260,000. That's a lot of money. But they had a bunch saved, but they needed $260,000 to make that down payment. Okay? So in order to go to the next step, that's what they needed to do. And so they said they needed to raise it by August 29th. And he said, if we can get 200 people, and he just broke it down this way, but he said, if we can get 200 people to do $1,300 a piece to raise this money so they could buy the building, so they could have the church building. You know, it's important to have it. God wants, you know, a church building. Yes. Praise the Lord. They don't, you know, these aren't free, right? This is just so you know. But somebody's paying for it is what I'm saying. Somebody does it. You know, when the lawn gets mowed, somebody pays for that. You know what I mean? When things got to get fixed, like the air conditioning, praise the Lord, it's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. But when the air conditioning is fixed, praise the Lord, somebody's going to pay for it. Amen. Praise God, this is the way it is. So they take up the offering. Within 24 hours, less than 200 people raised $276,000. $176,000 and $100. Yeah, $276,100. Less than 200 people raised it. It was an absolute miracle of God to move on people to allow that to happen. Don't tell me God can't move. Now, see, here's the thing. When people open the door to that, because the Bible says, Luke 6:38. Here again, for people that don't like preachers talking about money, praise the Lord. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men pour into your bosom. That's what the Bible says. Amen? I'm getting to time here. I'm over time here. Praise the Lord. But I was sharing that just to stir you to understand. Listen, God can move in areas, and he moves on people, and he supplies people to be able to do that. He will increase you to be an increase. But if you're going to put boundaries on your life and say, I'll never get there, you'll never get there. Praise the Lord. My wife and I sowed into that personally. Amen? Why? Because we have a heart for to see this the ministry expand and grow, and we have fruit there now. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we're not, just so you know, we're not independently wealthy. Amen. Just so you know. I mean, that's free, no charge. But it's not, you know, what's that? Yeah, it was a sacrifice for us. And we sacrificed some things to do it. But we did it. Amen. Because we care about the work of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to close with this. Praise the Lord. No, you know what? That's right where I'm going to leave it. Praise God. God has done some wonderful things. We determine the boundaries that are set in our lives. I'm not just talking about finances. We came out of this week of financial, you know, there was a lot of talk on it, and I shared that because I wanted to share that specifically. But we're not trying to raise $277,000 today. That's not the goal of what I'm doing. What I'm talking about is the boundaries on your life. The Bible says that you will have what you say and what you believe. Amen. I was given an example, another testimony, because we're a church that gives testimonies. I'll tell you when people get healed. I'll tell you when people get blessed. Hallelujah. I know that there's people in this church. Amen. I know that there's people that have been connected to this church that have already seen blessing in their life financially. I know raises. I've heard of jobs, different job things and jobs opening for people. We've seen that in Mayville as well. But not just in that stuff. I also know people getting healed. We gave a testimony last week of a woman who brought her grandson in. And he was having some issues with his head. He was a newborn. He was having some issues with his head, and his head was growing too rapidly. And we laid hands on him and prayed, and guess what? They went back and got it clear. Everything's good. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God is good. You know, the devil even tried. I'll tell you one other thing that the devil tried to make me do. He tried to make me stop giving testimonies, because every time there was a testimony, it seemed like there was an attack on the people that I was giving the testimonies of. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to stop giving testimonies, because guess what? The opposite of that is true. That was the devil's thoughts. But we aren't going to have attacks every single time, because we're setting our boundaries bigger. And that devil can try to come to the boundaries. But listen, a city puts up a wall for a reason. A fortress puts up a wall for a reason. We're putting up that wall, and we're putting it up big. And all our testimonies are going to be on the inside. And we're going to have gates that will let people come in and experience some of that for themselves. Because God, if God has done it for one, he'll do it for you. And if you have enough in you that you can believe God to do it, if you can say, yeah, I'll just going to take God at his word. I'm telling you right now, 1 year from now, you will not recognize your life. 5 years from now, you think, who was that person back then? 10 years from now, praise the Lord, you'll probably be preaching in some church of your own. Glory to God. Maybe not, but you know what I'm just saying? I'm just saying. God wants to do good things in us. He wants to do good things through us, and he will do it in those who are willing. So if you'll say it, if you'll speak it, if you'll confess the right thing, and listen, just keep coming back, and we'll help you with it. We'll help you with it. We're going to get there together, because this church is going to be blessed. Everybody who's connected to this church is going to be blessed, is blessed, but they're going to be blessed more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.